Okay, this is March 11th, the trap.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I behold you through the eyes of love, you radiant beings, you gods and goddesses. I hope that everyone here is learning that you are gods in the making. If you can't bring yourself to realize that, can you bring yourself to realize that you're connected to this thing called God? That you are not separated in any way from the thing that created you. You are created in love, by love, to be loving to yourself. This teaching is a teaching of this mind, of what's going on in your mind. Last week, I went on a tirade, slightly angry tirade, because I had heard the week before so many people were into fear, so many people were doing this, that, and the other thing, and they were metaphysicians. And they were talking trash. They were talking garbage. They were talking psychological terms. This teaching, although it deals in psychology, is not a psychological teaching. It has nothing to do with psychology whatsoever. What we know is the mind cannot heal the mind. You must go to the spirit in order to heal your mind. In order to do that, you must start with the premise that you're whole, complete, and perfect. That you were incarnated on this planet, completely equipped with everything you need. The gift has already been given. If you are looking for something to be added to you, stop looking. You have it. There is no way that you cannot have it. So we want you to realize that you have to be connected to God, that you have to be some part of God, some part of the universe. It doesn't matter if you call it God, the universe, Harry, Henry, I don't care what you call it. You have to realize that you are connected to this thing. And you have to realize that you're connected through the mind, through your thinking. So we're teaching mind here. And as I said last week, if you think for one moment that this is a church, it is not. If you want a church, go down the street. There are plenty of them in Los Angeles. You can find any of those things you want. And if you want to worship God, go to them and certainly worship God and do all the things, kneel, pray. I don't care what the hell you do. But you're not going to do it here. This teaching is about your mind. Now, we'll talk about the mind of God, but when we talk about the mind of God, we have to realize that we're talking about our mind. And when we're talking about our mind, we have to realize that we're talking about the mind of God. It's inseparable. We are one and the same thing. We are all connected. Now, people want to be happy. They want to prosperity, and they want abundance. They want all these different things out of this life experience. By the way, this is only one experience you're going to have in your lifetime. There is no beginning. There is no end. There's only eternity. You will continue, you're saying. And it will continue and continue and continue. Also, you must come up with the idea that there is no beginning and there is no end. There just always was. See? So you have to know those things. If you let your mind convince you otherwise, you let the world convince you otherwise, you are not going to have a happy experience on this plane of action. You have to learn to control your mind. You have to learn to control your thinking. So the title for the whole month is The Trap. And we get in what we call the trap. We get trapped by our own thinking. We get trapped by the world around us. Jesus said, I am in this world. I am not of this world. And you must start to realize that for yourself, that you are here having experiences. And yes, you're in a physical world. But you have to realize that that physical world is made by your mental faculties. So it's going to be a mental world that we're always talking about. It's always going to be about you. It's always going to be about your mind. It's always going to be about what you're thinking. This thing called God does not need worship at all. If you cannot affect God by worshiping God, when you pray to God, when common people pray to God, when other religions and so forth pray to God, you're not changing the mind of God. The mind of God already sees you as whole, complete, and perfect. It already keeps you as its beloved always. It always holds you in the highest of esteem. So if you think that you're going to pray to God and say to God, I'm going to be a better person, so if I'm a better person, please give me that, forget it. It's not going to work. You must become that person. You must become what you want to be. You must become wealthy in your thinking. And then wealth will come to you. If you want a relationship, you must fall in love with yourself. And then a relationship will come to you. It's always going to be done from in here and outward. The reason why I'm saying this is because I've been teaching this for 30-some years. Some people get it and some people don't. And when I was out the other week and discovered that the people around me were not getting it at all, they had slipped right back in. You may get it and your thinking may change while you're here in a metaphysical church or some other church. You go out of church and you leave your mind in that church. You don't take any of that stuff with you. This is practical metaphysics. You must use it every day in your life to bring into your life what you want, to make your life happy, to make your life successful, to feel fulfilled, to be filled with joy and so forth. You're not here for this thing that the world tells you is stress, struggle, strain, and sacrifice. You're not here for that. You get that great big sacrifice thing out of this man called Jesus who hung on a cross for, I think, 3 minutes or 30 seconds or something, and you people have been hanging on a cross for 30-some years. You just won't die.
30 seconds.
He had a good sense to die, for God's sake. You know? So give that idea up that you're here to sacrifice, or that you have to imitate Jesus in any way. You don't have to sacrifice like he did. You see, that had nothing to do with anything that was religious. That was all political, what happened to him. And that same thing will happen in this world. He was, you see, in this world, but he was not of this world. But let's go back a moment to this thing of your mind. It is always done unto you as you believe. What are you believing about yourself? Are you holding yourself in the highest of esteem at all times? Are you doing that? Last week when I decided to do that little talk and I said I was going to talk to you like a Dutch uncle, I will tell you this, and I've said this many times and you probably have all have forgotten it. Your mind will always keep you from learning what you need to know. Your mind will always keep you from learning what you need to know. The people that was pointed to that talk never showed up last week. Their mind knew enough to keep them away from it. You're saying. Now you must know that. If you're a metaphysician, you must realize how that happens. If you can't figure that out, you're not a metaphysician. The mind will keep you away from what you need to know. So you have to be able to control your mind and say, don't do that to me. But you allow yourself to be convinced by your mind. It takes over, and that is the trap that you fall into. You become completely convinced of the world. Last week, the affirmation was, I am not my thoughts, I am not my mind, I am not my emotions, and I am not my feelings. And you have to know you're none of those four things, but most people think, oh, I'm having a feeling, that must be real. No, it's just a feeling. You can change it at any time you want. Oh, I'm having this thought. Yes, it's just a thought, and you can change it any time you want. You have to make up your mind what you want to think, how you want to think. You have to make up your mind who you want to be. Do you want to go down the road with all the rest of the people and believe all that stuff that's out there? Or do you want to set yourself up and say, I'm going to start thinking for myself. I'm going to do this. So I'm going to give you two examples. A year, maybe 2 years ago, I used to give race mind alerts when race mind was rampant. We know what race mind is. Race mind is always in the law of averages, and it's the consensus of the race. It will tell you that if you get into a draft, you're going to catch a cold. There's absolutely no reason for that to happen except a belief that you've been told that since childhood. don't go out with your hair wet. You'll catch a cold. I used to go out and have my hair freeze, and I never caught a cold from that. It's your belief system, and you believe into the world and so forth. And since everyone does that, you say, oh, well, then that's the way it must be. Just because everyone on this planet is thinking that does not mean that you have to think it. If you think it, then you're buying right into that, and you're being convinced by the world. Or you're being convinced, usually, by your own mind. So you have to learn to become a witness to your thinking, to the movements in your mind. When these thoughts come in, you have to look at them, put them out on a screen, and decide, do I want to think this thought or don't I want to think this thought? So I'll give you the example, too, that happened to me this week of how the mind works and what you can and cannot do with it. My college roommate, 40-some years ago, is coming to visit me this evening. And I think that's absolutely wonderful, and I'm very excited about that. Then he types me off a thing, and he says, well, since you're teaching class, I'll just take my friend Ray out for dinner beforehand, and I'll meet you sometime after class. Now my mind said, well, taking Ray out, well, what am I, second fiddle here? Don't I count anymore? Is Ray going to make sure that he has almonds that he likes? Well, I'm not getting him those almonds. He's not going to get the almonds for me. I'll teach him a lesson. I'll do that. This is the way the mind just keeps going and going and going. So I watch this mind destroy a relationship of 40-some years, and I say, oh, I'm justified. He's taking somebody else out. He's not going to do this. I'm going to show him. Then my mind says, oh, why don't you do it this way? Show him that you're better than Ray. You'll get the almonds, and you'll get everything that he wants, and he'll say, oh, Dallas is much better than Ray. See? In the same situation, that's the ego talking to you. That's your mind talking to you. So you have to settle that down. And I settled myself down, and I said, now let's look at this, Dallas. You're a metaphysician. What's going on here? I figured the whole thing out. It has nothing to do with me whatsoever, you know. It's just your mind doing that to you. It's your mind. And if you listen to your mind, it'll justify everything that's going on. But you have to decide, is that the person that I want to be? Do I want to wreck a relationship for 40-some years simply because of that? No. Is that not petty? Absolutely. So I calmed myself down, and my college roommate arrives while I'm at class here. There's a note and a big bowl of almonds waiting for him. Now, I feel very good about that. But if you let your mind carry on like that, you see, where you go, you can go right down the tubes. It'll take you down the tubes. Your mind is not your friend. It will never be your friend. Stop thinking that it's a friend of yours. It's not. It has never brought you any good news. It will never bring you any good news. It's a mind that you have to control. It's just like the dog. You know, you have to train your dog, or it will poop and puddle all over the house. And you allow your mind to poop and puddle over you all the time with such things. So this is what this teaching is about. It's not about learning more about God. It's learning more about you and learning how to control your thinking. Ernest Holmes, in Science of Mind, states this. Learn to think the thought that you want to think. And learn to feel the feeling that you want to feel. That is what this teaching is about. Can you imagine the freedom that you would have and how wonderful you would feel if you could control every thought that came into your head? Feelings always follow thought. So if you're having a feeling, a bad feeling, it's because you're having a bad thought, you see. Thoughts and thinking are mathematical. The same thought, it's an equation. The same thought will always produce the same results. Won't change, but yet you'll sit there and think, well, I'll think something else and it'll eventually change. It will not change, people. 2 and 2 is always going to be 4, regardless of where you go throughout this entire universe. 2 and 2 is always going to be 4. On Jupiter, 2 and 2 does not come out to 5. It comes out to 4. It's always going to come out to 4. This thing that we call God, this thing that we look at as wisdom, as intelligence, and so forth, has a set law, and it's called the law of mind or the law of thinking. We like to think of it as the law of attraction. But there is a law out there, and it's mathematical. And you think into that law, and what you think into that law, you get back. So if you're thinking poorly of yourself, you're going to get a poor image of yourself reflected back to you. And you're not going to be able to pull through that. Now, let's talk about a poor image. So then this week, a year or so ago, I had my bathroom painted. And I had oriental scenes on the vanity, put all across the whole vanity, with an artist friend of mine. And it never quite gelled the way I wanted it to. Then I had another friend come 2 weeks ago from New York, and she painted the back surround of the tub in beautiful oriental figures and so forth. Well, that didn't quite match either. So then I said, what's wrong here is the floor. The floor needs to be redone. Well, I had to figure out how to do that because they said to me, to replace this floor, we have to go down all the layers. There's four floors on it so far, and we have to get down to the subfloor, and we have to do this. And I thought, well, by the time these people get in here and do that, forget the vanity and the paintings because they'll have it all completely wrecked. So my mind went to work and said, why don't you paint the floor? So I painted the floor red. It popped everything out just absolutely beautiful. This is all done in gold leaf paint, which is absolutely amazing because it sounds very pretentious when I say it's done in gold leaf paint, and people think, oh my God, it must have cost a fortune. It was a little bottle, cost $3.99. It's this big, the little bottle. And it painted the whole bathroom, and I still have about this much left. I could paint another room with it. I thought the thing would never end. Just goes and goes and goes. So anyway, I call the artist who did the vanity, and I said, Scott, I just want to tell you, I've done the bathroom floor in red, and those scenes that you painted now just absolutely pop out. Just absolutely pop out. He said, you know, I have to go for a walk, and I'm doing this, and I'm doing that, and my yoga class is doing this, and this is happening, and that's happening. Never acknowledged. Never heard me, and never acknowledged that compliment. Why? Because he doesn't think he's worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that he matters. So till he knows those things, he will never be able to take a compliment. He will never be able to take a compliment. These are the things that I want you people to learn so that you're not like other people. So that you can take a compliment and let it sink in and say, thank you very much. Years ago, when I was 21, I think, I was in Utica, New York. And I used to eat in a little place called Mama Rosa's. And there was an Italian restaurant. She made fabulous food, and I would say to her, oh, Mama, this is so good. She would look at me and she said, yes, I know. Yes, I know. She knew. She took the compliment and said, yes, I know. And that's what you have to say. Thank you for noticing. Thank you. This boy went right over him. And I repeated it 3 times because I thought, I'll see what's going on in his mind. So that's what this teaching is about, people. It's not about all this worshiping God or being more spiritual, doing all these crazy things that people think it is, you know. It's learning to be able to accept a compliment, to be able to say, yes, I'm proud of myself. Yes, I like myself. Yes, I love myself. That's what this teaching is about. If you don't get that, don't come anymore. Don't bother to come anymore. You're wasting your time, and you're certainly wasting my time. That is what we're going to learn. You have to do it yourself. You have to know that you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. With that, let's do the matter dance. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. So this is what it is all about. Don't fall into the trap of other people. Don't fall for what the world is telling you. Coming across tonight, there's a big billboard about a new show called Parenthood. And on top of that is a big thing that says, I've turned into my father. I've turned into my father. Don't turn into your father. Don't turn into your mother. You're an individualized expression of God. You're an individualized expression of the universe. Why would you want to imitate anybody else? Why would you want to turn yourself into somebody else? That means that you are not living your life, that you've never lived your life, so there's no reason why you should even be on this plane of action if you're going to repeat what your parents did. The reason why the world has not changed in all these years, except technically, is because everyone falls into the same trap and they say, this is what it is. In the 60s, when the hippies were going to change the world with all the love and so forth, every one of those hippies have now turned into their father or their mother. It never lasted because the world was too convincing and you fell right into the trap of turning yourself right into what the other generation was. We have to watch this. If you want to be free, if you want to be your own individual, you have to learn to think for yourself. You have to learn to use this mind of yours. But the only way you can learn to use the mind is to slow down a minute and know what's going on in there instead of being automatic. You see, at our ages, everyone in this room, you should be able to control every emotion that you have. Usually this thing of saying, oh, I'm so emotional, I'm so this, I'm upset, I'm this, that, and the other thing. There is no reason to ever get upset, you say. You cannot see God upset, can you? When you see God somewhere throwing pots and pans around or whatever and getting upset? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. You have the qualities of God inside of you. You must learn to develop them. You must realize that this world, the trap is that you fall for, which I said last week, is because you think things are happening to you. Why did this happen to me? Get rid of that. Why did this happen to me? And just look at it and say, why is this happening? And then you have to learn to love what's in front of you. And whatever's happening is happening. You have to love it. You have to love whatever's happening. It's just happening. Things are just happening. But they're not happening to you. As soon as you say something is happening to you, why is this happening to me? And you take that personally, you've taken the fish hook. Now you're hooked by the world. And that fish hook now is going to fling you all over the place. Learn to see the hooks and say, I'm not biting. I am not biting. I am not biting. You're saying? You have to do that in your life. And you do that with your thinking. Don't get upset if somebody says this, this, and this about you. Why would you want to get upset about that? You see? Is it true? Whatever they're saying about you? Probably not. Do they know you? You remember the old thing? Don't criticize anyone unless you walked a mile in their moccasins. But we think, oh, my, I'm so upset over this. Look what they said this about me and they said that about me. I don't care who says anything about me. You see? If it's true, if it's not true, it doesn't matter. I know that there's a wisdom and an intelligence somewhere that knows the truth about me. And I go there and I know the truth about myself. I know that I'm whole and complete and perfect. I know that I'm worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that I matter. So I do not allow myself to get upset with these things. But I watch my thinking and then I learn to enjoy that and I learn to laugh at myself. I didn't get all upset over North. I watched my mind. I was at the sink. I always seem to be at the sink when my mind attacks me. You know? Yes, this is true. You know, my sister-in-law will not iron. She cannot get near an ironing board because if she does, her mind turns in on her. It uses that small, I guess, isolation of doing something. The mind says, aha, they're not watching. I'm going to attack, you see. Yeah. And the mind attacks you. It starts to spill out all those old thoughts, all that old garbage that you've carried. Look at that garbage and say, oh, I've had that too long in my life. Get rid of it. I don't want it anymore. I don't want that anymore. And let it go. It means nothing. It means nothing. What means something is what you're thinking at this very moment. All power is in the present moment. And there is only this moment, only now, going on. And this is what we want to learn. You only have the now. The past does not count, and the future is not here. Only the now is here. Keep yourself in the now. We get into trouble because we project back into the past, which we think we can change the past. You cannot change the past. You can change your emotional attachment to the past, but you cannot change the past. Well, anything that happened in the past, it happened exactly that way. Now you have a choice of how you want to interpret that. And as for the future, you can plan for the future. But you're not there yet. So if you're waiting to be happy in the future, give that up, because if you're not happy now, you're not going to be happy in the future. Anything that you want has to be done here, right now, in the now. So if you're whole, complete, and perfect now, it will move to the next moment. And that's all we're talking about. It's like that 12-step program that says one day at a time. I'm saying one moment at a time, one instant at a time. So keep your mind on the now. Your mind wants to take you here, there, and everywhere. And it wants to come up with fear all the time. I discovered this week that this little rubber band that we were doing for negative thoughts, all comes, anytime I have a fear thought, I immediately snap this rubber band and snap myself back into the moment. Because in the moment, there is no fear whatsoever. Your fear comes because you've projected into the future thinking, oh, I won't have enough, or you're into the past. And then the fear comes up. If you're living right in the now all the time, there is no fear involved whatsoever. But this whole thing of fear, remember the little thing, what fear means? False evidence appearing real. It's just false evidence that you're looking at. These are facts that you're usually upset with and so forth. What do we know about facts? Facts change. But truth never changes. The truth is you're always whole, complete, and perfect. Oh, but I have a sniffle right now. Well, that has nothing to do with you whatsoever, that sniffle. Remember, the dish is never dirty. The dish is never dirty. There may be dirt on the dish, but the dish is never dirty. Your soul, your spirit, the essence that you are, is the dish. It is never dirty. And you must remember that and go to that. You must give up the idea that, oh, I'm just human, so I can make all these horrible mistakes and so forth. And I can be this, that, and the other thing and excuse it with, I'm just human. You are not just human. You have to realize that you are spiritual, having a human experience, but you are a spiritual being. And this is what makes all the difference. So you have to sit down and train yourself to think differently about yourself and to ask that thing called spirit, whatever that is, whatever you think that is, that essence within you, to come to the forefront, to take over your life for you so that you can feel the joy, the bliss, and the happiness, you see? And don't wait till tomorrow to do it. Start right now. Don't wait till you're 80 and decide to do it. Do it now. Or you'll leave this plane of action and never experience the joy that you're supposed to experience here. You were placed here. You decided to come here because you wanted to learn something about yourself. What did you want to learn about yourself? That you are a creative individual. And learn to enjoy this wonderful experience. Learn to enjoy your feelings. Learn to enjoy your thoughts. How are you going to learn to enjoy your thoughts? By thinking the thought that you want to think. Don't allow all that mind to take over by itself. Your mind is just a big computer, and it runs rampant. And no one seems to realize that. We're not taught that, you see. We're not taught that at all. Now, there's a theory out there that we come here completely blank, that our mind is a blank slate, and then that things are added to it. This is true and not true, because we have a lot of people, you know, that are born that are already can play music, can speak different languages. So we know that some of it is filtered through, that we collect things from the past. But say that you did come here with a blank slate. Who's putting the writing on that slate? That's going to be your parents at first. Now, you say, well, my parents taught me this and they taught me that, and I'm just all that crap about parents all the time. And you say, well, I can't change because that's the way my parents taught me. Well, that's the poorest, lamest excuse I ever had in my life. Just think to yourself, huh, I'll just erase all that and I'll start over. You have to realize that you're conditioned. And what you want to change, that conditioning that you have. You're conditioned to fail, you're conditioned to succeed, you're conditioned to have money and not to have money. All through your life, you've been collecting little tidbits that you think are true about yourself. And you've put it all together in this conclusion that you've come up with, that this is who I am. You have no idea who you are. Give that up. You have no idea who you are. But if you use all this, and it's quite reasonable to do it, and it's certainly one of the things that are out there in the world, which makes the world so convincing, that, it was my upbringing, it was my schooling, it was this, it was that, it was the other thing. And I'm going to tell you, life is a choice. Life is a choice. And you can choose to think the thought that you want to think. And yes, you came from this parent and that parent, and this happened to you and that happened to you. Now choose, how is this going to affect me? I'm going to let it affect me negatively, or am I going to make it do something positive for me? I've told this story many times about the twins. One was an alcoholic and one wasn't an alcoholic. When they asked the twin that was an alcoholic, why are you an alcoholic? He said, because I saw my father drinking and I knew I would become an alcoholic. The other one said, I saw my father drinking and I made up my mind not to be an alcoholic. It's a choice. It is a choice. You must learn to make your mind you. You see? You must make your mind you. And when you say stop mind, it must stop. It's like a child. It's like an animal. You must train it to do what you want it to do. If you don't, it's going to run rampant around. You're going to get offended. You're going to have the jealousies. You're going to do all these crazy things that you think it's all right to do because why? Because you see everybody else doing them. And of course, if you watch that television set, all it does is tell you how horrible people are. I don't think there's one show that I've ever turned on that tells you that a human being is a wonderful, magnificent creature. No, it tells you they're going to hit you, hurt you, and beat you, and whatever else they do, leave you. No. It never points out the good things. So you have to do that for yourself the same way with this Scott, the artist. He has to sit down and realize that he's a very good artist and that he can take a compliment, you see. You have to be able to take a compliment. So if you want to train yourself in one way, when somebody gives you a compliment, see what it does to you. See how long it takes you to recognize it. If it's that instant, if it's the next hour, sometimes it may be a day or so later, you think, oh, they gave me a compliment, it just now sunk in. Then call the person and say to the person, thank you very much, you see. But you have to do those things for yourself. It's training. to say. Life is an inside job. It's a do-it-yourself project. You must do that for yourself. It's going to be done with your mind. It's going to be done with your thinking. Otherwise, you will become a prisoner of your mind. You will put yourself in a prison. You do that. This thing called God does not do that. So give yourself a break. Realize that you're already whole and complete and perfect, that the gift has already been given, that there's nothing else that this thing called God can give you. It has given everything. And you have everything. But you don't use everything, and you think you don't have everything because at some time, maybe your mother or your father said, you can't do that, you know. You're not smart enough to do that. Or, who the hell do you think you are? You think you can do something like that? Who do you think you are? You think you have money? Who do you think you are? The Rockefellers? And you start to believe all that stuff. Now you have to see what's going on inside of your mind and change those thoughts about yourself. You have to create yourself now. Yes, your parents brought you up to that point or whatever they did. Maybe they weren't any great deal at the beach, you know. But you have to change your mind about all of that. Give that thing up. And start to think for yourself. And start to see how wonderful you are. And give yourself some compliments. And take other compliments. And learn to compliment other people. That's the only way you can do it. And that's what this teaching is about. It's called science of the mind. It's not called science of God, science of the spirit. It used to be called religious science. And it used to be called a lot of things. But it's called science of mind. But it has its dealing with your mind. And your mind is part of the mind of God. And the way that the mind of God works is through the law of thinking or the law of mind. Your thinking and your mind does the exact same thing. That is why it said, what is above is also below. Above meaning what God is doing and thinking, below that are our minds, and they're doing the exact same thing. So if you want to run around and say you're a demigod, please feel free to do that. It is the truth. We're demigods. We're small gods. And collectively we make the God, the big kahuna. But in the meantime, we are part and parcel of that big mind, and we have to realize that, and we have to know that we can use that wisdom, that intelligence that is in the universe to bring into our lives what we want. But the only way that God can do anything for you is through your thinking. If you think that you're not well, God will not say, oh yes, but you are. God will say, fine, I agree with you. See, God does not argue. God loves. God agrees. But God does not argue. God does not change minds. You change minds. You change your mind. We do not change other people's minds. We change our mind. It's always thinking about you. What are you doing? What are you thinking? And then it outpictures itself in the outer, in the world that you're living in. So give up that idea that you're going to change anybody else, you're going to change God, that you have to thump a Bible around thinking that God is interested. First of all, God doesn't read. Nor does God have a library. So that thumping the Bible is not very good. You know. Read it. It has lovely things in it, but read it metaphysically. If you read the Bible metaphysically, it makes absolute sense. Just saying. If you don't, then we get into Jerry Falwell and all those people who can't read. Okay? It's up to you. It's your mind. So what I'm trying to say here is, whatever you thought of metaphysics, metaphysics merely means beyond the physical. Metaphysics means that things that are seen come from things that are not seen. But the main thing that it's talking about is your thinking. It's talking about your mind. We have turned it into everything but that. And we have taken it outside of ourselves, and we think that God is in the heaven someplace, and God is a person, and God is this, and God is that. Give all that stuff up and say to yourself, what is my mind doing to me? What am I manufacturing today? Your mind is a manufacturing machine. It will manufacture anything that you put into it. So wake up in the morning and say, huh, I'm going to the factory and I'm going to manufacture something today. And then you go into your mind and you start thinking, and you start thinking what we call correctly. You see? And you have to start what? Always you have to start with what? You have to start with this premise that you are worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. If you don't have that as your foundation for your thoughts to spring from, you are not going to get very far. You are not going to get very far. So you might as well make up your mind right now to start to love yourself, to start to forgive yourself, to start to see yourself as the magnificent thing that you are. And started thinking, well, if I had my teeth straightened or my hair a different color, or if this happened or that happened, if I lost a little weight, then I would be able to really love myself. No. No, no, no. You have to love yourself now, this very moment, with all your warts and all your pimples. Whatever you have, I'm a wonderful human being. And you are a wonderful human being because you're an individualized expression of this thing that we call God. And you have to know that. Then your life starts to change and you start to change. And then you're filled with this thing that for years Joseph Campbell talked about. Bliss. Find your bliss. I thought, what the hell is that? When I heard that, find my bliss, I didn't know what it was. But finding your bliss is this thing called peace of mind. Peace of mind. You know, when I was a child, I attended church regularly because my parents dropped me off there so they could go drink. And one of the things that there was a Lutheran church, and they would always end every service with, now may the peace that passeth all understanding hold your hearts and minds in God. The peace that passeth all understanding. There is a peace that you have and you can have and you can obtain. What you don't understand, it's just a peace. You're just happy to be being. Just to be being. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to do anything. You see? And what are we called? Human beings. But what have we turned ourselves into? Human doings. We have to be doing something all the time. How many people sit in the day? A minute, 2 minutes, maybe 20 minutes, just being. You can't find God unless you become still, unless you become silent. You see, God is so polite that with all that mind chatter that's going on in there, God is not going to interrupt it. That is not the way this thing works. But if you still yourself down, still your mind down, that little voice will start to be heard and you will hear it. And then you will be refreshed and you will find this thing called peace of mind. you will give those things up. You will give those things up. Okay? Read that and pass it around quickly. Worry does not change the tide, nor can it change my circumstances.
Worry does not change the tide, nor can it change my circumstances.
Worry does not change the tide, nor can it change my circumstances.
Worry does not change the tide, nor can it change my circumstances.
Worry does not change the tide, nor can it change my circumstances.
Worry does not change the tide, nor can it change my circumstances.
Worry does not change the tide, nor can it change my circumstances.
Worry does not change the tide, nor can it change my circumstances.
Worry does not change the tide, nor can it change my circumstances.
Worry does not change the tide, nor can it change my circumstances.
Worry does not change the tide, nor can it change my circumstances.
Worry does not change the tide, nor can it change my circumstances.
Yes, worry cannot change the tide, nor can it change my circumstances. That's a trap that we fall into. How many people think that worrying will change something, that it will do something? Remember, Jesus said worry will not add one cubit to you. Worry does nothing for you but make you old and wrinkled. It doesn't do anything. It will not change anything. The only thing that will ever change anything in your life, and you can take this to the bank, is your thinking. The only thing that ever changes anything is your thinking. Anything that's ever come into this world has come into this world because of a change in thinking. So learn to change your thinking. Learn to think the thought that you want to think. And learn to feel the feeling that you want to feel. So it's going to always be about mind, and it's going to be about your mind, and it's going to be about learning to control that mind so that it will produce what you want it to produce instead of just going willy-nilly and letting it throw you from one side to the other all the time. Once you can, control your thinking, your whole life will change. Everything will change. So that's what this teaching is about. So from last week to this week, and for the rest of the time that I ever teach this, I'm going to bash you over the head with this so it finally makes some sense to you. Because all the rest of the stuff is all well and good. All the treatment works work. All the affirmations work and so forth. But they do not work if you don't change your mind. If you don't realize that it's your mind that is causing everything in your life. It is your mind that's doing that. It is the thinking. You can blame it on your parents, but it's because you're thinking that that is what it is, that that is what it's doing. It's going to be your mind. It's always going to be boiled down to you. Give up blame of any type, you see. How many people still say, I'm late because of the traffic? Well, that's a bunch of horse shit. You're not late because of the traffic. You're late because you either started out right. But you're usually late because you never put your life in divine right order to begin with. If you put your life in divine right order, you will arrive on time. You see, order is the first law of heaven. Order is the first law of this universe. If we didn't have order, all these planets and stars would be running into each other all the time. There would be complete chaos. So, order is the first law of heaven. Order is the first law of your mind. Okay. We'll do a card. The greatest good that can come to anyone is the forming within him of an absolute certainty of himself, an absolute certainty of himself. What is an absolutely certain thing? If somebody says, who are you? What are you going to say? Or are you going to say, ha ha, I'm an individualized expression of God. I'm an individualized expression of God. I'm an emissary of light and love, and I am here on this plane of action doing my Father's work. Are you certain of that? An absolute certainty of yourself. You have to know who you are. And of his relationship to the universe, forever removing the sense of heaven as being outside himself. Heaven is within, and it's always going to be within. And that has been taught for 2,500 years, if not 3,000 years, and people still do not get it. And I'll tell you why they don't get it, because you go to a church, and I'll pick just one off the top of my head, a brand name church, and we'll call it a Catholic church. What are they going to tell you? Get ready to die and go to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what they're going to tell you. You're going to suffer through this life, through this veil of tears. And then, on your deathbed, an angel's going to come and drag you into heaven, and you're going to be there, and it's just going to be wonderful. If your life isn't wonderful here, it's certainly not going to be wonderful in the next plane of action or the next go-round, because I want to tell you, death does not improve you. Death does not improve you. You stay exactly the way you were. Change your mind now, change your consciousness now, and you'll be able to keep that throughout eternity. And that's what we're here for, and that's what we want to learn. Change your thinking, change your life, and it's wonderful, and so are you, and so am I, and there ends the lesson. Thank you.